Hi, this is Marnie from the Wing Girl Method, and I'm here with Christian Hudson from thesocialman.com, which is actually a website that I came across about a week and a half ago, and one that I was instantly taken by, seeing that they had a very sincere and natural and just a really real approach to assisting men with helping them attract women. So, Christian, thank you for being with
me. Yeah, thank you very much. That's a very kind way to introduce us here, Marnie. And I have to say your attitude seemed pretty much in line with what we like to do. So it's cool to be talking to you today.
Yeah, good. And I like it. We're both happy. all right. So
I'm secretly masking a massive amount of depression, but it's just it's all the cocaine I did before
awesome.
Got on the call here.
There you go.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. All right.
So where are you located?
New York City. And in fact, if you hear any ambulances in the background, they love to just come screaming up the street, at the most inopportune times. So I apologize for that in advance if that happens.
I will let you know if you need to repeat yourself in case there's a siren.
All right.
But I wanted to talk to you today about connecting, which is something that mm-hmm. I've been talking to a lot of my clients about. And it's a difficult thing to explain. For someone to connect to another person, because I feel that a lot of men can approach, they can engage, but they then forget to be part of the conversation and connect mm-hmm. to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see this
has that been,
as well?
I take it that's been your personal experience with men?
Yeah, with being approached by men. I notice a lot of men approach me, and then there's a wall in between the two of us where they don't really know how to segue their approach into an actual connection with me.
I see. Yeah. Well, that's interesting, and I think it's pretty common. I mean, we certainly see that with a lot of clients we work with. And, you can kind of break... It's funny, you can break down, the act of interacting with people into different sorts of activities. I mean, you could just be, messing with people. I mean, that's the whole negging thing or just teasing people and what have you. You can spend the whole time connecting with them, and maybe that works for some people. It doesn't work for others. You can go super sexual very quickly. And I think, I don't want to say mastery of this stuff, but getting good at it. Part of it is kind of seeing what a woman's emotional state is and what sort of conversation she's in and reading the situation and what have you, and being intelligent about, what you need to achieve in that moment in order to, to make something happen for you. So that's the broadest thing I'd say is, again, I think a lot of people look at this stuff algorithmically or linearly.
Yeah.
The very first thing is you just can't do that. You have to be flexible when it comes to, approaching different people in different ways at different times, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Cause you're dealing with independent people. And I think that's a really good point to point out to anybody who's listening is that you're not dealing with just one woman who is copied and pasted over and over and over again. There's different women that you're dealing with who have different baggage, different backgrounds, different ups, different downs, and different hitting points. Mm-hmm. I know that there is a basic structure that you can work with that most likely will work on most women. But again, you're dealing with a different person every single time. So connecting mm-hmm. is, for me, I tell people that connecting and what I do with people is about taking the time to listen to the other person and see what it is that they're mm-hmm. telling you, not with their words, but with their body language. And I think I think that when men can take a moment to pause and breathe and take in the situation, that's when they can start connecting, because that's when they start being a part of the moment instead of forgetting what the actual approach is for.
Right. Well, I'll give you an example. I went into the bank today.
Yeah.
And I had to do a couple of I was actually opening a new business checking account and had to do something with my personal checking account. And the guy who started helping me was this. I learned he was about to turn 25, and he asked me, "What do I do?" And so I told him, and he goes, "Oh my God, no way, dude! That's crazy! I read the game a few years ago, and have you seen that show, The Pickup Artist?" I'm like, "Yeah, of course." And so he's like, "I've gotten so much stuff from what you guys all do, and you ever do that five questions game? And there's some really funny stuff in there."
Oh yeah.
He was even telling me a story about he met, what was that guy's name? Russell Simmons. You know Russell Simmons.
Yes.
And he met Russell Simmons, and Russell Simmons was wearing Crocs, those shoes. And he pointed at Russell Simmons and he goes, "Hey man, you forgot to tie your shoes." And this is like a random meeting one day. So that style of communication, what this kid was doing, was essentially like messing with people. You know, playing the five questions game, pointing at Russell Simmons and saying, "Hey, you know, you forgot to tie your shoes." And it was very. He's very energetic. He's very open. And as the funny thing is, Marnie, and this does come back to what we're here to talk about.
Yeah.
This guy had gotten very good at creating a lot of positive emotions in an interaction. And I think that the value of being able to do that is insurmountable. You know, being able to just mess with people or have fun with them or what have you. Even as he and I were talking, though, here's where this comes back, is he and I were not able to make a real connection. And it's not because... it's not really because of any lack of skills on my part.
Yeah.
And also he is a banker and he's helping me out. But it's also, he was so eager to talk to me.
Yeah.
And it was sort of almost validating for him to be talking to me, like, "Oh my God, this guy, you know, he does this stuff and he's so into it and he's going to know exactly what I'm talking about." And there were a few points when I would be, you know, telling stories or talking a little bit about something, and he would just grab the conversation and run with it. And, you know, he's not a girl. I'm not trying to get into his pants. And we had enough of a connection that I didn't need to,
right.
I wasn't looking for a soulmate.
Right.
And my banker. But, the point here is that this guy, there were quite a few instances where I was talking. And rather than continue to listen to me and continue to be engaged and continue to ask questions with sort of a natural curiosity, I think just his youth and his exuberance and his energy, inhibited us from really getting to know each other beyond just the superficial level and a couple stories that we shared with each other. You know, there was no question of how did you get into this? What's your background? What do you do besides this? What are you really like as a human being?
Yeah.
You know, it's all focused on the topic of game and, maybe 20% like, you know, where I wanted to put different sums of small money. And I think that's it's funny because I knew we had this conversation coming up, and I thought, man, what a great like way to describe it, because it doesn't just happen out at the bar. It happens everywhere human beings go, where they're so wrapped up in sort of what they want to talk about and their own things and in the exuberance of discussing it all, perhaps.
Yeah.
That they're unable to really listen to what other people are saying. So does that that little story there, does that help express,
yes.
Even outside of the pickup context, is that sort of what you think about when you think about somebody not able to make a connection?
Yes, that's 100% what I'm talking about. And that was a perfect example of what I was looking for. Because I also wasn't really sure how to describe it properly. But that's exactly what it is. It's just people who are unable to be on the same level with each other. Because...
Yeah.
I spoke on the phone for the first time, I felt a huge connection between the two of us. Maybe you didn't feel it, but I just felt like our conversation was really flowing. We were asking questions.
Marnie, are you coming on to me right now?
A little bit. I think I am. But that's the thing. I did. I felt some sort of connection with you, that you understood where I was coming from and I understood where you were coming from. Also because we had things in common. The way that we, our approaches are very similar. The way that we want to structure our business and how we want to treat people who we deal with. I don't know if it's going to be a lifelong friendship, but right away off the bat, I knew that you were somebody that I liked and I was engaged in and wanted to get to know more about, which is exactly...
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. But that's exactly how I want to feel when I'm being approached by a man. I don't need to feel madly in love and passionate, because I've had those experiences where I love somebody for 3 days and then I want to kill them 2 days after that because they're so obnoxious and annoying. And a real connection for me is, it may not be a sexual attraction, but it's an...
Of course.
That's where the connection is. So then what is your advice to your clients on making those connections, or what are the five steps? Because it's difficult to explain to somebody who doesn't know how to connect.
Right. It's sort of all over the place. And we actually, at the time we sit down and record this, we don't have this product produced, but we're getting a program at some point this year called Connection, which is more or less all about this, because I recognize it's sort of an issue for people.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's look at a couple things kind of at a high level, and we can start by talking about our conversation and what worked there. The first thing was that, you know, you and I have similar experiences and similar goals. So that helps. I mean, obviously, if I meet when I was again, I was at the bank today. I met a guy who was he was a University of Michigan graduate.
I was there for a while.
A lot of work. Oh man, they're those rich, deep pocketed guys who I just go. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm not a gold digger, and I don't. I'm not too into men. just kidding. I'm going to get myself into a world of trouble. Yeah. All right. In all seriousness. So the two things are that, first of all, this guy went to Michigan, and so we were able to I went to University of Michigan. We were able to make a connection on that. And, you know, we talked about Michigan football, which is sort of the salient feature of everybody who went, of every conversation for everybody who went to Michigan. So I think one of the things is trying to tune into common experiences and, you know, picking out what are those things that we all have in common about them. And, you know, this is a problem when you can't just walk up to another human being and go, yo, isn't it great to be a human being? And we just had Tuesday together, you know?
Yeah.
How was your Tuesday? you know, you can kind of make that happen, but the more specific the experience that you can share with the person, the better. So obviously, at a high level, being able to drill down into specific experiences and figuring out, you know, what experiences you share with a person or what common issues or what common situations you've been in together really helps. And the problem is that most guys, you know, so how would you do this from a logical perspective, right? You would probably start by saying, hey, you know, let's just say, hey, what's your name? She gives you her name. Where are you from? She gives you where she's from. If you don't have a connection there, what do you do? You know, you're trying to seek rapport, right? Yeah. And that's what all this connection stuff is about, is seeking rapport. The problem is that most guys don't, they don't give enough, well, it's two things. They don't ask the right questions, and they don't give enough back when they are asking those questions to make the girl want to continue to talk to them.
Exactly.
So those are two sort of major issues I see that guys have. So let's talk about, this is just a four-step example that I'll give you right now that I always teach my clients. And it's very, very easy to use to make a connection with a person. So here in New York, the city is populated largely by transients, you know, people who weren't raised here. So an easy question to ask somebody is, you know, how long have you lived in New York? And you might bring this up within a minute or two of knowing them, or even sooner. You know, sometimes I'll walk up to a girl, say, hey, what's up? What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. You know, she gives me hers. I say, cool. How, you know, what brought you out tonight? You know, I'm here with friends, you know, oh, cool. You know, you normally come out to this neighborhood, and in New York, that's a lot easier to do than it was in Ann Arbor. In Ann Arbor, there were two neighborhoods. In New York, there's, you know, hundreds.
Yeah.
So, you know, do you normally come out to this neighborhood? Yes, no, whatever. Oh, so how long have you lived here? And now we're kind of into a conversation, okay? And as long as I'm not a total creepster, as long as she's somewhat open, she's going to say, yeah, you know, I've lived here for 2 years, 3 years. Whatever. And she's probably going to ask at that point, how about you?
Yeah.
So now we've got a little dialogue going, and this is the first step, is just getting a dialogue rather than making a monologue, which is what I had with the guy at the bank today, except it was a monologue on his part. So now we've got a dialogue going, and she's like, how long have you been here? I'm like, oh, you know, I'm coming on 3 years now. It's a pretty incredible city. You know, what's your favorite part of it? So here's step one, is basically asking a sort of broad question about whatever commonality we, you know, we share at the highest level, which, you know, in this case is, you know, New York. The next part of it is, you know, what are some experiences you've had here, or, you know, what do you like most about it, or what are some of your favorite things about the city? So, again, one of the things that I'll probably ask, like, you know, what are some of your favorite things about being here? And I actually will probably ask where she came from, before I do that. But I'll say, you know, after that, I'll say, okay, so what are some of your favorite things about being in New York? And, you know, just get some very basic stuff. Like, she'll probably say, oh, you know, I just love how much energy there is in the city. And you know, all my friends are here and blah, blah, blah. So that's, you know, basically step two. Okay. is what are some of your interests, and trying to share some of those. And so then at that point, I'll relate back to it. I'll be like, oh, yeah, you know, it's like, it's funny. When I was back in Michigan, like, so I'm throwing out a little bit more information about myself, even if she hasn't asked. Exactly. I'm like, yeah, you know, when I was back in Michigan, it's interesting because you have a very set group of friends. And I stayed there for a few years longer than I probably should have. I really liked living in a college town. And I had to make new friends, like, every year. And, you know, and the old ones would leave. So again, you see what I'm doing here, Marnie, is I'm trying to throw out a little bit of information about myself, but then I'm going to come bring it back and say, you know, the funny thing about being here is I make new friends like every week, but most of them stay, you know, and occasionally you'll have like somebody who leaves and she'll be like, yeah, of course. So then I'll get like a little bit deeper. Okay. And now I'm going to try to find a personality trait. So I'm going to be like, so, you know, what do you and your friends like to do when you get together? Like, are you more like wild, crazy party people, or like you just like to, like more chill sorts of places? Like, what's a typical activity for like, you know, the people you hang out with here? So you see, this is not like sparks aren't exploding in the conversation,
right?
But I'm sharing enough of information about myself and I'm trying to discern a little bit about her, and it's, you know, it's all like coming together. And that simple structure right there, just asking a little bit about her, talking a little bit about myself, asking a little about her, talking a little bit about myself. That is really the foundation of all of this stuff. Now, I could keep going here for a second. I just want to stop.
Yeah.
You know.
No.
I don't want to run.
No. These are actually really good tests. But I wanted to ask you about step number three, giving a little bit of info about yourself. And I like the key word for me is little bit, because I meet a lot of men who, if you know, I'll ask them a question, and then they'll go on for about 10 minutes and mention how they have a convertible, and then how, you know, something with money as well will drop in some way, and that will totally disconnect me. And at that point, they're also totally disconnected from me because they are so in their heads talking about what they think that I want to hear that they forget to be a part of the conversation. So even when you are connecting, I think you can disconnect a lot. But I like what you're saying because you're just like, you just be simple, you just be easy. Even the way that you were constructing the conversation right now for me, you just seem very comfortable and confident. And that would be something that any woman would be attracted to. It's an energy anybody's attracted to. And you seem a part of it.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, I think here's the key point is, so I've spent a lot of time thinking about what confidence is.
Yeah.
Right. And to me, confidence is a man who's utterly comfortable with his own value in the world. And that,
you say the same that's as a, me. That's a, I like that.
That's a very broad statement. But you know, So, like, if you're not comfortable with your value in the world, let's say you're not comfortable with, like, where you grew up, you're not going to want to talk about it. But, you know, I took inspiration from some of the hip-hop guys here. You listen to any hip-hop song, these guys rep their hometowns so hard. And it doesn't matter if they're, like, from the shittiest little place. Like, if they're from, like, you know, Podunk, North Carolina, like, they're still repping it hard.
No, you're right.
And so, you know, everything about your life you've got to love, but you don't... Here's the way that I think about this stuff is you love it for yourself. You love it not to prove to other people that you love it. You love it for yourself, and you come to terms with it for yourself. And then when you're talking to other people, you don't have to prove to them that you love it because it's just self-evident in sort of the way you think about it and the way you talk about it. But like that's very different from, you know, I'm from Michigan. Like, it was an amazing, you know, here's how, like, a guy who's kind of maybe studied a little too much pickup stuff or just who talks too much might talk about it. But, I'm from Michigan. Like, it was an amazing place. Like, I absolutely loved it back there. Like, you know, I went to University of Michigan for 9 years, and it was just the best little town, like, amazing burritos. Oh, my God, we had so many ice cream places. Like, where'd you go to college?
Yes.
You know, I've just totally overwhelmed and oversaturated the conversation with facts about myself that indicate that whether or not, like, I love it, it's like I'm trying to prove something to that person. And the funny thing is that when there's an economy of words, when you talk less, it often says more because it shows that you're comfortable with what you're talking about without having to prove it. And then that makes people curious because they're like, well, you know, what is it about this thing? And I always try to tell guys, like, especially in the early parts of the conversation, you know, you only need to talk as much as you need to get the woman to open up.
Yes.
And you only need to share as much information as you need to get the woman to open up. And by the, you know, if you're gunning for sex, for example, by the time you're done, I would hope that it would have been maybe you've shared 30 to 40% of the information in the conversation, and she's shared 60 to 70%.
Yeah.
You know, the bar and in those early stages of courtship, it's not therapy hour, and you know, it's not your time to like boast about your accomplishments. If you want the former, go to a psychologist. If you want the latter, start a blog. You know,
exactly.
Like if again, it's just, you know, all you need to do in these early parts of the conversation is provide enough information about yourself with a little bit of personality to get her curious and to give her something to relate to so that she can open up more.
Exactly.
So I'm going to stop my little chat right there.
But no, I completely agree with you. And I actually call it throwing up on a woman, which is what a lot of men tend to
yeah,
do. They throw
I like
up
that.
Their information. So if they get nervous and they talk about something that makes them even more nervous that they're self-conscious about, but then trying to be comfortable with it, but it's very obvious that they're not, so they throw up on them and they throw information at them to
yeah,
get everything
yeah.
all out there. And that is, nobody likes throw up on them. It's disgusting, it smells, and it's something that you want to get away from as quickly as possible. So, you know, men just should not throw up on women. But I love what it is that you're talking about, because it is, it's such like a subtle thing that most men don't notice that they're doing. I had this one client that
right.
I worked with a couple of weeks ago when we went on to the promenade in Santa Monica, and when we started our conversation, because we've been doing coaching with each other for a few weeks at that time over the phone, he was very involved in the conversation with me. He was listening to me, he wasn't nervous, and he was relaxed, which was great. But as soon as we started doing mock pickups, and then he would start approaching other people as well, I noticed him becoming uncomfortable, first of all, and then totally removing himself from the conversation and talking too fast, asking
right.
too many questions, and not listening to my responses or any of the women who he approached. So I think that everything
right.
that you pointed out should be something that every man or every person in general should listen to if their goal is to connect with someone.
Yeah, and well, you know what's so funny though, Maria, because I've spent some time thinking about this stuff, specifically that issue that you just talked about. Like, we had one client who came in; he was making a lot of money from a very big corporate law firm.
Yeah.
He was an incredibly cool guy. He dressed well. You know, my point is, in our initial conversations with him, I was like, "There is no problem
yeah.
with this guy whatsoever. Like, why is he sitting across from me right now?"
Yeah.
But then we did – so on our boot camps, we sometimes will videotape people doing exercises and kind of show them body language issues and what have you. And the moment that we started doing approaches – and these were simulated approaches. This isn't even in the bar.
Wow.
This is like a simulated approach. He's walking up to my colleague, Nick.
Okay.
Like trying to pick him
well,
up.
Well, maybe that's the issue.
Well, we saw the same thing when we went out later. But – you know, what I saw was this guy got incredibly nervous
yeah.
and his whole body language changed, and he started, you know, as you said, throwing up information.
Yeah.
And it's entirely different than how he communicated when he was just sitting there chilling on the couch talking to us. And, you know, and so I see this stuff a lot. I mean, this is not uncommon. And here's where I think this comes from, right? Is there's different degrees of social pressure.
Yes.
And different emphases that we each place on different type of social pressure. So one type of social pressure is public speaking. Another type of social pressure is picking up a woman. A third type might be going to school and fitting in class.
Yes.
And I think we all have different tolerances to different types of social pressure. And we have different responses when that pressure comes down on us. I'm personally, I love public speaking, and for whatever reason, I have my whole life, and I've never had any lack of confidence to get up on the stage and just let my mouth run. But I have incredible anxiety when it comes to picking up women one-on-one, still to this day.
Yeah.
So what is sort of paradoxical about this, though, is that it is the people who can be the most, who are the most themselves under social pressure who appear to be the most confident,
mm-hmm.
and or who typically are the most confident. So sort of being able to acknowledge that, and when getting back to making a connection, being able to acknowledge that there's some sort of weird social pressure on you, whether it be imagined or external, and just identify that when you're communicating with people is sort of the first step in this. And the second step in this is saying, well, how would I communicate naturally if I wasn't under this social pressure? So, you know, if I go up and, you know, I used to be, I used to have this venture funded software company. And like there was an intense amount of pressure when we spoke to venture capitalists to like get our words out and make our case. And that is a social pressure that is just like, it's like, ah, yeah. Scary. And, you know, so being able to sit there, look them in the eye and be natural with it took some sort of thinking and some practice and some experience. Being able to, being able to make a connection with a woman is, it's a lot less pressure, if you think about it, than that venture capitalist or that business meeting that you're in.
Yeah.
It's just that most men attach a high degree of significance to it. Especially the longer they've been in this community, the more they're like, well, I've been studying this stuff. I better be good at it. If I don't, you know, it's all for naught. So, you know, my point is those different... here's what I want to say about the venture capitalists, too, is those guys put pressure on you. I mean, and sometimes hot girls do this or a high-energy bar will do this. You know, you walk into a venture capitalist office, I mean, some of these guys, like, they're like, okay, sit down now.
Yeah.
You know, you got a minute and a half to impress me. Okay, that's external social pressure.
Exactly.
And that's something that, you know, the guy kind of has to be aware of and to deal with and what have you. Internal social pressure is when you're talking to a woman who is not saying you've got a minute and a half to impress me. You're just creating the social pressure in your own mind because you think you have a minute and a half to impress her, or you're worried that you're going to lose her because maybe you don't have enough experience in this, or she's so hot that you're like, oh my God, like if I don't make this work, if I don't impress her, then, you know, then it's lost. So I think a lot of guys create social pressure for themselves, and that causes them to act a little strange or to not want to make that connection. And, you know, what I'm talking about right now, I'm not, again, specifically speaking of a technique, but it's just like if you're a guy and you're listening to this right now, think about those thought loops that are going in your head when you're out at the bar, when you're talking to a woman. Is she the one who's putting the pressure on you?
Exactly.
Or are you putting it on yourself?
Exactly.
And how is that affecting your ability to just be chill and natural? And how would you be if you were talking to this person and that pressure wasn't there? That's really a great place to be coming from when you want to start connecting with a person.
Exactly. I completely agree with you. That's actually what I tell most of my clients as well, because whenever I do speak at seminars, I usually will go around the room and say, what do you think in your head before you approach a woman? And most of the guys say, well, usually when I see an attractive woman, I think, oh, she's taken. Oh, she has a boyfriend. Oh, she's going to reject me. I'm like, okay, well, you're already setting yourself up for failure then. And that's exactly what you're talking about with internal pressures, because there's so much more for you to overcome then. Instead of just thinking in your head, oh, that person looks cool, I'm going to go talk to them, or she's hot, let's go check her out and see if her personality matches up with her looks. And that's a hard thing to do.
Right.
It just has to do with practice and being able to give yourself signals to snap yourself out of that crazy talk in your head. And that's like a whole other conversation that we can definitely have. But I want to wrap up right now and just say thank you, first of all, because I think that you were really able to pinpoint what it was that I was asking about, which is connecting with people, how to connect, and where there is a connection. But the most important...
That's funny, because I feel like we barely skimmed the surface. I'm looking at the timing right now. I can't believe we've been going on for 28 minutes so far. But I feel like there's like all these like techniques and conversation skills and like little sequences you can run through that make it so much easier. I can't believe we've just like skimmed the surface.
Oh, I know. Oh, trust me. There were so many other areas where I wanted to jump off onto a different tangent, because there's a lot to what it is that both of us are teaching. And what it comes down to in a pyramid, at the very top of that pyramid is comfort. And that's what everybody's goal should be. It's comfort within themselves. Even if you're not comfortable at all times, it's being able to calm yourself down so that you can get into a comfortable state. And then everything else sort of filters out from there. It's all the skills that go down pyramid path of connecting and communicating.
And I want to add to that. I mean, being comfortable means being comfortable to do whatever you want, exactly. whether it be to mess with people or to make a connection or to go straight into like trying to seduce a girl who you see at a club who's giving you eyes.
Exactly.
You know, and I think one of the risks here in talking about this stuff is like, I remember in my last business, which shall remain unnamed, you know, a lot of people, and probably rightly so, thought we were like all about, you know, just connection and this will never work on hot girls and like, you know, this isn't high impact stuff. And the important thing to keep in mind, again, for anybody listening here is like, this is really critical stuff. But this is not the only part of game, you know, but it's a part of game that you need to have. It's a part of game that you can lead with depending on the venue you're at. You know, if you're at just like a chill lounge or a cocktail party or something, this is the stuff that you want to lead with. You don't want to lead with like high energy, like crazy stuff. But it's just one part of it. And I think that's, you know, again, just something to keep in mind. But it was my pleasure to be here today. I mean,
thank you.
I really enjoyed talking with you. And I feel like this is probably the first of many conversations that we'll have in this format.
Well, I want to hear about your products because you were talking about a program that you are going to have, which will be about connecting, which will obviously be what we're talking about now and blown out the way that it should properly be done. But are there other programs that you have now that
we have a couple that we have one called Unbreakable, which is like 10 to 12 hours. It's online video and it's sort of the foundation of everything we teach, and it's incredibly comprehensive. It talks about confidence, a little bit of lifestyle stuff, and then like a lot of, you know, game and social skills stuff, and it's huge. And it took me about, it started off as a $2,000 program that lasted 8 weeks. I spent 6 months condensing it down, and then it's out now.
Wow.
And that's only $47 because we really want people to see that. And we wanted to price it inexpensively because we know it's good.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to get people watching it. So, you know, we have that, we have a few others. We have one on opening conversations. Specifically, we have one on sexual communication. We have one on, it's called Hidden Mic Pickups. But, you know, well, Unbreakable is undoubtedly the one that, you know, somebody should start with. It's just a tremendous amount of stuff, but it's incredibly deep. And, you know, we've gotten like nothing but rave accolades from it. It's really, really, good feedback from it.
Okay,
so that's where to start.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have a link, to your product on my website underneath this audio piece. But if people aren't listening to this audio piece on my website or through my newsletters, then how would they find you or your product?
Oh yeah. Well, our main site is thesocialman.com. And then if you want to check out Unbreakable, you would go to becomeunbreakable.com/winggirl. And if you go through that, then, like, you know, you'll kind of go through Marnie's site, and that'd be good for her. So,
all right.
yeah. So that's how we would do it.
Okay.
And, thanks again for having me here, Marnie.
Oh, you're welcome.
I look forward to doing it again sometime.
Definitely. Okay, well, thanks for being there. All right.